Galatians chapter 5, please. I remember watching a movie about Alexander Graham Bell, and he wouldn't allow a telephone in his house. Did you know that? After he invented the stupid thing, he hated it so much. He wouldn't allow one in his house. I understand how he feels sometimes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I want to talk just a little bit on the subject of Christian humility. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So tonight I'd just like to talk a little bit about this thing of humility in the Christian's life. I don't think it's something that we ever get a handle on. At least in my experience, I find it's one of those things I have to constantly battle with, is this thing of pride and this flesh. You know, it reminds me of that old carnival game where the little gopher pops up and you hit it with a hammer, and it pops up in another hole and you hit it with a hammer, and you really just never quite get it knocked down. It just keeps jumping back up again. And our flesh is like that, isn't it? Our pride is like that. And God's ways are so different than man's ways. God's ways are so different than man's ways. And we're so steeped in our sin, and our sin nature are so corrupt, that even on our best day, we're not able to grasp the true state of our hearts. And, you know, the world scrambles for power and influence, and we live in a dog-eat-dog world. We live in a day that it's a cutthroat environment. Some of us work in a workplace where it can be a cutthroat environment. It can be a cutthroat environment going to the grocery store, can it? I mean, it can be dog-eat-dog. And as far as the world's concerned, it is survival of the fittest, as far as the world's concerned. And for 150 years now, we've been told that we evolved from animals and we're nothing but an animal, and we pretty much act like that, a lot of folks. Selfishness is a problem, isn't it? Selfishness is a problem, and unfortunately, it's still a problem even to those of us who say we're Christians. Selfish is, it's easy to be selfish. It's natural to be selfish. That's like Buck Owens said, all I have to do is act naturally. And that's selfish. I'm selfish. Are you selfish? Sure you are. Sure you are. We all are. It's what we are. And even as Christians, we'll always battle this thing of selfishness. The Bible, we read it there, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." But there's a glaring difficulty. And the apostle mentions it in the same chapter. Look up at verse 13 of chapter 5. He says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Notice verse 17. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now that's what the problem is, isn't it? We've got two natures. We've got two things working in us. Two contrary natures. And it's a never-ending battle. You ever get tired of the battle? It's a never-ending battle. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, he called it the war in his mind. That's where the war takes place, isn't it? It's in the battlefield called the mind. That's where the whole, that's really where the war is. By the time usually that somebody commits some heinous act out here in society, it's already took place in the mind. It's already happened in the person's mind most normally. And the Apostle Paul said that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. A lot of times, we have good intentions, don't we? I do. A lot of times I have good intentions, but by the time I get home in the evening, I'm so tired my good intentions are thrown out the window. Right? And the flesh is weak, isn't it? The flesh is definitely, it's weak. But how different is this world's philosophy than that of our masters? Our philosophy, the world says, look out for me. I'm going to take care of numero uno here. I'm the boss. I'm the guy. Take care of me. I'm looking out for old number one here. That's what the world says. Look out for number one. Well, the Bible tells us we're not to be like that. The flesh wants us to be that way. And you'll hear it in our attitudes. I don't care what she says. Or I don't care what he does. Or they can do it. I'm not doing it again. Or all that, see, it just oozes out of us, doesn't it? Like a that selfishness, and you have to battle that, and I have to battle that. So it's a different way of looking at things. I've got 3 points. Humility, its distinctives. Humility, its denial. And humility, its duty. First of all, I want us to look at the distinctives of humility. Number one, it puts down or mortifies self. That's what humility does. It puts down or mortifies flesh. If you look at verse 24 of the same chapter, it says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh." That means we've mortified or crucified the flesh. We're to put off, the Bible says, the old man. How many times are you going to put off the old man? Lots. As often. Daily, easy. Sometimes several times a day. We're to put off the old man. Then one of the distinctives of humility is it mortifies the flesh. Secondly, it honors others. Philippians, if you'll turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Excuse me, Philippians chapter 2. And verse 2, Philippians chapter 2, and verse 2. The Bible says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but look every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we'll stop there. But humility honors others. Humility esteems others better than ourselves. Humility looks at others and says, I want to help them rather than worry about just me. Humility. Humility honors, and the Bible tells us here that we are to Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, I can see your faults. If you don't know what they are, come see me and I'll let you know what your faults are. But I don't see my faults too good. But you see my faults. I know that. But the Bible says we're not to be that way, are we? Because guess what? We all have faults. And guess what? We all got problems. And we all have little habits that get on each other's nerves, or we do little things that bother people. My water jumped off. We all have things that get on each other's nerves at times, don't we? If we're around each other very long. But the Bible says that we are to have a lowliness of mind. We're to honor others. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, you can look at it later if you want to. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So we're to submit ourselves to one another. If Christians really lived like they're supposed to, there'd never be a church fight. You know that? They'd never be a church fight. But we're just human, aren't we? We're just humans, unfortunately. So we see it's humility, it's distinctives. Humility puts down or mortifies the flesh, and then it honors others. Then we see humility, it's denial. This is a short message because I thought we were going to have a Gideon speaker, and I didn't want to tax your time too much. But your denial, humility, it's denial. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, in lowliness of mind, let us esteem other better than ourselves. And then in verse 14 of the same chapter, it says, do all things without murmurings or disputings. In other words, he tells us here in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife. Humility, it denies us strife. In other words, when we're humble, it stops these strivings, doesn't it? These strifes that go on. There'd be a lot of times, and Hannah's here, she could attest to this, there'd be a lot of times that Evelyn and I could fight with each other. You know. But we've learned that it ain't worth it. It's not worth it. There's lots of times that she does things that bothers me, and I'm sure there's lots of times that I do things that bother her, but we've just about got to the point we just laugh about it and go on. May as well. Amen. So humility denies this strife, you know. And Eugene, you know your daughter. She's a fighter. She likes to fight. She likes to fight, but it's in her blood, I think. But we've learned over the years that it's not the way to do it. It denies that strife. Galatians, we read the verse, says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. If you got a bunch of people biting and devouring one another, pretty soon there won't be anybody left, will they? And then it says in verse 3 of chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, it says, vainglory. And I looked that word up. We don't use that word, vainglory. But the word means self-conceit or pride, to be puffed up or haughty. To be humble denies us that, doesn't it? It denies us that pride. It denies us that being puffed up. It denies us that. An old preacher 100 years ago said this, the flesh instinctively knows that the great object of the Spirit is to crucify it and mortify it. The flesh does not therefore dislike a natural formal religion which does not interfere with its lust, but allows its own way and will. But a religion which interferes with its lustings and actings, which curbs it and represses it, and will not allow it to rule and reign, but crucifies it daily, the flesh cannot brook. It is like a man with a very bad temper. Please him, and he is all smiles. Upset him, and he is all frowns. Do the things that he wants, and he is the most agreeable man in the world. Oppose him in the least degree, and his very eyes flash fire. In other words, the flesh is fine as long as you leave it alone. The flesh is fine as long as you don't disturb it. The flesh is fine as long as you don't try to crucify it. But if you try to drive a stake in that booger's heart, it gets upset, doesn't it? We fight this flesh. That's the problem. It's not the devil so much. It's not you. It's me. It's the flesh that I fight. And the flesh has some friends. The flesh has the world and the devil. But the flesh is a pretty good enemy on his own, isn't he? This flesh. So, humility, its distinctives. Humility, its denial. Humility denies the flesh. Humility, if you're saved, when you get ready to say, I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. I used to tell Evelyn, she'd say, I'm going to give her. I said, you sure you can afford it? I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. Then she'd fight me and forget about that other person. But you know, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit will say, now, is that really what you want to do? The Holy Spirit, he'll try to work on you, won't he? He'll try to restrain you. The flesh wants to rear up, doesn't it? It wants to fight. The flesh don't like to be wrong or wronged. But we're to have the mind of Christ, aren't we? We're to have the mind of Christ. So I guess tonight I'm trying to tell you, whenever you have those urges, think about that we're to have the mind of Christ. It'll help you, won't it? It will. It really will help you if you'll think about that. Humility, it's denial. It denies the flesh. Flesh doesn't like it, but that's what we're supposed to do. And then thirdly, humility, it's duty. In verse 5 of Philippians, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our duty, humility in us, is to be conformed to the image of Christ, is to have the mind of Christ. And the Bible goes on here and tells us that he, being in the form, verse 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. I'm going to read something to you out of the book of Matthew. You can turn over there if you like. Matthew chapter 20 in verse 25. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. Jesus here is going to explain to his disciples something about being a Christian. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. The Bible says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And if you'll turn over a couple of pages to Matthew 23 in verse 10, he says something similar. In verse 10 it says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So Jesus here is telling us that we're to be humble. We're to be a servant. We're to be have his attitude about things. When we see people, we're to have his compassion. A lot of times I'll look at people and I'll say, ha ha ha, you big dummy. You deserve that. You did it to yourself. Right? You ever felt that way about looking at somebody? But you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be right there in that spot, whatever that spot is. So that's not the attitude, is it? That's not the attitude we ought to have, even though it's easy to get that way. But we're to be compassionate, aren't we? We're to be compassionate. I heard about a fellow the other day. He got caught drinking and driving. And my first thought was, well, but you know what? It could be me. Not that I'm drinking. And not that I'm drinking and driving, but there was a time in my life I was. And if I would have been arrested at that time, it probably changed the whole course of my life. I'm just saying, it's just the grace of God, isn't it? It's just the grace of God that we're not in worse shape than we are. So we're all just sinners, right? We need to remember that. We need to strive also to be like-minded. It's our duty to be like-minded as Christians. In this church, we're to be like-minded, particularly. With all Christians who love Christ, we're to be like-minded as much as we can. We might be people of different denominations sometimes, but we ought to be like-minded as best we can. We're to be of one accord, you know. We're to be have strifes. We're so easily offended, aren't we? You know, we're so easily offended. It's so easy to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm on this side and everybody else is wrong. That's our tendency anyway, isn't it? Well, the only problem with that is, and guess what? You might be right, but once you draw that line in the sand and stick your tongue out and say, you're wrong, you have no influence with that person. You might be right in what you think or what you believe, but if you act so nasty to them, you'll never win them over to the truth. So we need to be humble in that way, don't we? I've got some friends that I disagree with on some issues, but you know what? There's no sense being nasty about it. That's no way to win them. They won't even listen to you if you're nasty to them, will they? So you have to keep the lines of communication open, and you can't do that by saying you're stupid. That's what I want to say. You're stupid. I didn't say I was politically correct. I just I have to bite my tongue sometimes, you know. But you know, the fact of the matter is even if I am right about something, I wasn't always right about it. Somebody taught me. Somebody showed me from the Bible. Somebody helped me along the way. So we have to work at these things. In other words, it is work, isn't it? It is work being a Christian. It is work having those attitudes. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I'm going to turn over to Romans 15, and then we'll about be done. Romans 15 and verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does Paul keep saying that? Why does Paul keep telling Christians be like-minded? Why does he keep telling them they have to have be the same mind, that they need to love one another? I'll tell you why, because we have to be told that. We have to. We have to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded constantly that there's a war going on inside of here. And we need to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. So somebody said this, it's a good thing if you've got a war going on inside. You say, why is that? Well, that means that there's life in there. Peacefulness in sin is death. In other words, if it doesn't bother you, if it doesn't bother you when you do wrong, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong, spiritually wrong with you. It ought to bother you when you do wrong. And that what bothers you, that's part of that warfare, isn't it? That's part of that, you know, when God in that still small voice says, you know, you shouldn't have said that to him. Or you shouldn't have said that to her. That means God's working on you, doesn't it? That means he's in there working on you. So you should be concerned if you don't have a battlefield in your heart and mind. You should be concerned. But if you have that battlefield, that's the Holy Spirit working on you. That's the flesh lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. That's normal in the Christian life. You're going to have that. So let me ask you in closing, are you crucifying the flesh or are you pampering the flesh? Are you crucifying the flesh? Are you mortifying the flesh? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the flesh? These are good questions. It's something you need to think about. How am I doing? How am I doing in this Christian life? How am I doing in this Christian walk?